My name is Martha Bennett. I am 28 years old. Today is the 25th of December 2018. I'm recording this interview in Wantage, Oxfordshire, United Kingdom, and I'm speaking with Pete Ashwell, who is my grandfather. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
What was I like as a child? I was born on the 7th of September 1927 in the Middlesex Hospital. And my mother was an inpatient in the hospital for about 3 or 4 years because she had a condition which did not allow her to come home. I lived with my grandparents on my mother's side in Sudbury Town, just outside Wembley, at 45 Watford Road. At 45 Watford Road, Sudbury Town, Wembley. And I lived there till about, I was 9 years of age. And then, in the meantime, my father, who worked in the Midlands on the railway, decided that after my mother had died at the age of 8 years of age, I was not allowed to go to the funeral, as they considered it a child was too young to attend funerals in those days. And after 2 years after that, my father decided to remarry. He remarried my stepmother, who was a Yorkshire woman and been an ex-nurse, and they lived in Wharton in Buckinghamshire. And they decided that now was the time, with the parents and grandparents I was living getting so old, that I should go and live with them. In the meantime, I lived with them with my sister Linda, who was 2 years my senior. And so we were both told we were going to live with the new stepmother at Wharton. And this we did. This was in 1935, approximately. And it was the worst moment of my life because I loved being at Wembley. I loved being with my grandparents. And I loved the schooling, which was just down and around the corner from where we lived. And everything was honky-dory. And then we had to go down to Wolverton and start a new life with a new stepmother. And before long, there was a stepson born to them, called Norman. And he was the apple of my stepmother's eyes, and Linda and I were not wanted really in the family anymore. There was a complete jealousy and a breakdown of relationship. But we stuck with our new way of life. My father, being on the railway as a booking clerk, he got transferred and he got promotion. And we went to Leighton Buzzard. And then we went from there up to Birmingham. And it was then he got promoted to station master. In the meantime, Linda had had a setback with a stepmother and had left home because she was 14, which was a school leaving age, and she started work. So it meant that I was on my own with a stepmother until I left 2 years after she did. And I left because I was in Birmingham with them and I didn't like what was going on in the family. I was almost segregated and Norman was in taking number one spot all the time and I was just getting in the way of their way of life. And so it was decided that I was going to join the army. Mind you, the war had started in 1939 and this was 1944 when I decided that I was going to leave home and join the army. But unfortunately, it wasn't the regiment I wanted, but I joined up in Birmingham and I was then posted. My first posting was up to Inverness in Scotland, to a training battalion there, and it was there that I stayed until I finished my training after a bout of appendicitis, which I won't relate to you now because it was a long story. And I had to go and do part of the training again in Northern Ireland, in Belfast, at Palace Barracks in Belfast. And after I completed my training and got back to A1, I was posted to the regiment down in Colchester. And it was there, after a short spell, we got posted overseas to a draft that was in Germany at the time, at a place called Lüneburg. Now, this is where the hostilities ceased in Europe in 1945. And we got posted there, and I stayed with the 1st Battalion for the next 5-6 years. And I got posted from Germany back to the UK to reform, down to Trieste in Northern Italy, Trieste down to Padua, which was the old Yugoslavia, from there on to Greece and Salonika, from there back to Athens, over to Cyprus. And during the time in Cyprus, I got seconded down to a detachment that went across to Israel for a short spell, and then we came back to Cyprus after doing what we were supposed to do in Israel, and got on various expeditions to Egypt and a little time in Aqaba, and then came back to Nicosia in Cyprus, and there I got drafted up over to England after finishing off 7 years overseas, 5 years overseas, sorry, 5 years. And I came to Oxford. I'd never been to Oxford before. Came to Cowley Barracks. And it was there that I met my wife of many, many years, Edna. She was a nurse, a young nurse. And we met, and I first met her at what was known in the regiment traditionally as the Waterloo Ball, once a year occasion, when everybody get dressed up and we all go and have this marvellous dance and an evening's entertainment. And she came along with some nursing friends, and I met her, and we've raised a young family, 3 children, Catherine being the eldest, Joan being the middle daughter, and Timothy being the youngest. And we've been married now for 60 odd years, and it's been a marvellous life. And I have now been retired the best part of 25 years, I suppose, yeah, 25 years. And I've never looked back. And she is now looking after me. She is my number one carer, and I respect that. And it was the best moment of my life when we got married. That was the wonderful thing that changed my whole life. Was our marriage. And I could tell you a bit about the honeymoon, which I won't go into detail, in London. And it's been a wonderful existence. So that's my story.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Ready for the next question?
Pardon?
Ready for the next question?
Yeah. Perfect. Is that one question?
Yeah. Oh, that was brilliant. Sorry, there's more. Here we go.
I thought we were going to cover everything with one, yeah.
No, it's all good.
Okay.
Can you tell me about your grandparents and your great-grandparents? What do you know about them?
My grandparents was in Watford Road in Wembley, or just outside Wembley, Sudbury Town. They were marvellous people. And
what were their names?
One was Louise. And I can't think what the grandparents' name, my grandfather's name was.
They're always just Grandpa, aren't they, or Grampy?
Louise was the mother's, grandmother's name.
Yeah.
No, I don't know much about them, but they were marvellous to Linda and I. Mm. And although I had an elder sister who was Ina, which we never met as a family, we never grouped together as a family, the three of us. Ina was always separate. She lived with her grandparents in Cheddington, my mother's side. And No, I can't tell you much about them, but they were marvellous grandparents, but they're getting old, and it was the right thing to do, maybe, on reflection, that we should move out of their way and give them a bit of space when Dad got married again. It might be the right move on reflection, but at the time, it was a horrible move from my point of view. I even locked myself in a public toilet in the park, and they couldn't find me to put me on the train. And they sent the police out looking for me, and they found me about 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was locked in this toilet. And unbeknown to the greenkeeper, or the park keeper rather. But that was a sad moment, yeah. Anyhow, they were marvellous to me and Linda, both of them.
Yeah.
They did their best. They did their best. Right, that's all cool. I can tell you about. Yeah.
Fab. Can you tell me a favourite memory you have of me? That feels like quite a self-indulgent question. Tell me a favourite memory of me. Which I think means, can you remember a favourite memory of me growing up or...
Of me growing up.
Martha, I think.
Of me growing up.
No, or Dad growing up.
Martha.
I don't really
know.
Yeah.
Oh, the folk. Yeah, Martha. She was born in Wantage.
No, she wasn't.
Reading, but grew up here.
You were born in Wantage?
No.
Reading.
Yeah. And it was marvellous that our middle daughter, Joanne, gave birth to Martha. And it was a marvellous occasion, because when she was a young child, she used to come to our house on visits. And it always seemed that either she was tired or I was tired. And we used to just nuzzle up on the settee and tell stories and both fall asleep. And I've got pictures to prove it. Yeah. They were marvellous, marvellous times. Yes.
Yeah.
And she went on to Cambridge, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I can remember, I don't know if you remember, I remember making a cardboard fort in the garden of those kind of rattan things that you and Nanny had as well.
Mm.
Yeah, in the summer holidays, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, that was fun. I think there was a woodlouse in one of them.
Yeah,
cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
Also watching Oliver and South Pacific a lot on VHS seems to come to mind. And gambling as well. I think your nanny taught me well how to gamble.
That's right.
That was fun.
Yeah, nanny did. Yeah.
Let's have a look at this one. Can you tell me about one or two people who've been the biggest influences in your life?
Influencing them, really. Mm. Take a little puddle in that, didn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's a tricky one. Maybe a teacher or a friend or someone you worked with.
One of the biggest influences when I was a youngster living at Watford Road with the grandparents, we used to go as young lads, we used to go swimming on a Saturday morning down the local swimming bars in Sudbury Town. And I lived in a row of houses adjoined together. And on either side, there was boys. There was Jimmy Cowell on one side, and there was Billy Cook and his brother Robin on the other side, Robin Cook. And we always used to go down to the public bars and swim. And being boys, we were always jumping off the plank that used to go up, diving plank and in, and keep on repeating that time and time again. And then we used to go down the chip shop and get a pan of the chips, and that was a lovely occasion. And then if there was something on at Wembley Stadium, we used to be able to get into Wembley Stadium free of charge through the trellis work they had at all the entrances, until one year we got caught and we got that stopped. But Billy Cook, unfortunately, he was the eldest of the two boys on one side where we lived, and he was a smashing bloke. He looked like, I don't know how you must describe him, a bit like blonde-headed, curly-haired youngster, and everybody loved him, Robin, and Billy as well. And we used to go swimming, and one day we dived into the pool, as we young lads did, off the diving board, and he didn't come up. And then somebody, I turned around because I'd been chasing backwards and forwards, doing exactly the same thing, and I realised a group of people were looking down, and you could see this person at the bottom of the pool. And unfortunately, when they pulled him out, it was too late. He actually died. And that turned me off swimming for 2 years. I never even looked at it going down there anymore after that. And even on a rainy day, if I saw a puddle, I used to give it a wide berth. Any water, I didn't want to know about it. That's the effect it had on me. But it was a sad loss, and that was a big, important part of growing up and accepting these things do happen, even to the best of powers, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Do they know what caused him to pass away? Did he, like, land funny in the water, or...?
No, he just went down too suddenly and hit his head on the bottom. Oh, yeah. Cool. Without paying attention to what he was doing. Yeah.
Very sad.
He was a good swimmer, too. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's one. Oh, yeah, I forgot to ask you about the bit of paper, didn't I?
Mm.
So, I've given Pampy a bit of paper that just says, my name is and I am blank years old. So, should we do that bit now? Might as well.
So, all right, we've been through that.
Yeah, we've been through that, haven't we? Yeah. But Pampy's 91 years old, for the record. I think I neglected to say that at the beginning. Whoops. Mm. So,
another bit of paper.
Another bit. this one's interesting. What advice would you give your teenage self?
I would just generally tell them not to be too, not too ambitious, but ambitious enough, want to get on and prosper.
Mm.
And no matter if you have any doubts at all, always ask for advice, and don't ignore advice. Just ask for advice and accept it, and try and be realistic about it all, and accept what's said, and learn from any mistakes you may make. Learn from them. You learn very little from success, but you learn a hell of a lot from making mistakes, from failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and always take that into account when you're thinking about what you want to do next. Always tell the truth. Yeah. I've always maintained that. Tell the truth.
For the record, that's Nanny laughing, but I think that's very sage advice.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Nice.
Nanny's laughing in the background.
Yeah. It's your turn next, Nanny. Brilliant. Thank you, Pampy.
Right.
Right, next one. Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
Happiest moments?
Yeah, happiest moments. Anything that springs to mind?
So many of them. Yeah.
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 Maybe we could do a few. We've got time.
It's a job to say. One of my happiest moments, my uncle used to tell me the story about his friend who worked on the London buses as a bus conductor. He used to go around collecting the fares on the buses, called him a Clippy. And he was on the bus one day and he said to this lady with a young lad, "Full fare for the young lad, he's over 5. And she says, "How dare you?" Most indignantly. He said, "I've only been married 2 years. Lady," he says, "I'm here collecting fares, not confessions." And that's the one. Yeah, but.
Brilliant.
Okay, that's There are other occasions too of being in the army and learning about, I'm thinking about Peter Jackson, who I knew in the army, and he got demobbed early because he used to play football with us in the army with the battalion football team, and he broke his leg, and because it got broken in when we were playing out near Cyprus, the temperature out there wouldn't allow it to heal properly, so they brought him back to this country for a quicker healing process, and it worked by bringing him back. And I caught up with him again when I got discharged from the army and came to Oxford. I didn't realise that he was an Oxford lad, but he joined the police by then, and he was a great detective. Yeah, he was a great detective, and he managed to get up to inspector level. And I met Peter on one occasion, and I said, "Well, how's it going?" He said, "Well, things are getting marvellous." And be careful.
Nannies, for the record, Nannies interrupting again.
You know, he said to me, "Well," he said, "I was trained at Ensham Hall, you know." So I said, "Well, I've never been to Ensham Hall." And he said, "Well, you should try it sometime." But that was one of my happiest moments, to see that he was a normal soldier like me, but through joining the police force, he could get on in life. And he came from a place called Rose Hill in Oxford, and from a family which, you know, had been always been in the lower, you know, the lower echelon. But he done so well, and I thought, well, if it's possible for him, it's possible for anybody to get on, you know, if possible. And that's my story about Peter Jackson. Yeah, yeah.
Great. Mm. Lovely.
Has it turned off now?
No, it's still going. Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learnt in life? That's quite similar to the one we had before.
Never get caught.
Excellent. Next question. What are you proudest of, what are you most proud of personally and professionally in your life?
I was proud to have met Nurse Woods, and when she said she would marry me, and that was the greatest triumph of my life, you know, because I swore blind that if ever I got married, I wanted somebody who was more reliable than for. If we had children, to look after them, then my family had, or appeared, had been, in my experience in my latter days with my father and stepmother. I just wish for better times, and she's proved that she'd been an absolute brick, and I can't say any more than that. She's absolutely the greatest thing that happened to me. And I'll repeat that wherever I go, yeah. And she will not contradict it either.
That's really nice. Can you tell me about the stupidest thing you ever did in your life?
Yeah. Stealing chocolate from a shop. Telling the three of us used to go down and try to get some extra chocolate on a Saturday morning in Sudbury Town. And there was always the case, we thought we were a very good gang, we got a good plan, it was impossible to be caught. But the plan was that out of the three, two would go into the shop and one would stay outside as a lookout man and keep an eye for the Bobby on the beat coming down. And you go down, you talk to the man behind the counter and say, "Have you got any spare tins?" So, you know, they're toffee tins. And we would like them because we're collecting them for charity. You know, this was our story. And he used to have to leave the wine counter, go into the storeroom. And whilst he was out in the storeroom, little hands were coming across and filling our coats up with chocolates and all sorts of Ovaltine and all sorts of things. And on one occasion, I was a lookout man. I was looking the other way because the arm of the law came down on me. Why are you standing about like this outside this shop? And I said, no, not me, Governor. And the other two tried to scoot out and they got caught as well. And the outcome of all this was we got pulled up before the magistrate's court in Wembley. And for a fortnight before our case came up, I had visions of being taken to the Tower and being beheaded and all sorts of things. And when it came to the day, I went through this magistrate and said, Lady Magistrate, a very wise woman, and said, this is your first offence, etc., 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 and you're only so young, and it's for chocolate stealing, but we're going to try and cut this out if possible. But she said, I will, you know, just reprimand you now, but don't ever let me see you here again. And with that, we were marched out, all three of us. And a sense of relief from that, I thought, oh dear, I feared the worst. I didn't know what to think. But it learns you a new lesson in life, and that is don't be stupid like that. Think you can beat the law. They'll always catch up with you. Yeah.
That's great.
How much more of this?
That's all right. We can stop there if you like.
Okay.
Or yeah? Do you want? Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect. We'll say done. With that, we're done. Thank you, Pampy.
That's all right.
That was great. Right. No, you were brilliant.
No,
thank
not
you.
Really. No.
Yeah, you were grand.
There's a lot of little bits I haven't filled in, but I couldn't remember them all. No.
That's all right. You can add them in now if you like.
No,
are you all good?
No,
post Christmas lunch, ready for a nap. Thanks, Pampy. Great.